It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. Hopefully you're having a great week so far. Of course, I'm your host, Scotty Myers. Thanks for joining us, following us on all the social media channels, at Scotty Myers on Twitter, and the Scotty Myers Show on Facebook and Instagram. We're going wall-to-wall geek again. A lot of DC news this week, but we will start first off Star Wars. There's nothing going on in the world of Star Wars right now. It is very quiet in a galaxy far, far away, but I am sure announcements are coming any day now. I would expect, you know, here we are in September, that, you know, sooner rather than later, we're going to get our first look at the Book of Boba Fett, which really we haven't seen anything from yet, outside of a couple of still images and some behind-the-scenes footage that kind of got leaked, but really, like, nothing official. So I would imagine we will see something Book of Boba Fett-related relatively soon. My guess may be mid-October, like October 14th, 15th. That would maybe take a little bit of headlines away from DC fandom on October 16th, and we're going to talk about DC fandom a little bit later on. First, let's start with a couple of sequel announcements. First off, Jungle Cruise has greenlit a sequel. I haven't had a chance to see the first one yet. I'd like to. I like these movies based on the rides at Disney World, just because the rides, they do such a great job at Disney, whether any of the parks, creating a story for the ride. It's not just a ride. There's their giant story involved with it. And so it leads to making, you know, films based on them. So I like the idea of them. They've been a little hit and miss. You know, obviously Pirates, a giant hit. Haunted Mansion, probably my favorite ride. That was a little bit of a miss. But I like them swinging for the fences on it. And the fact that they've already announced a sequel for Jungle Cruise is good news for everybody involved. And I expect the entire cast to be back. Sticking with Disney announcing sequels, I kind of want to take a bit of credit for this one, because I've been banging this drum for a little while. As a matter of fact, you go back to the podcast, we did a good chunk of an episode on the first film, and that's The Rocketeer. Yeah, we did Does The Rocketeer Hold Up? We kind of figured that it did, and begged for a sequel, and we're getting it. And it's going to Disney Plus, which is kind of where I said the sequel should go. You kind of had a movie that's got a cult following. You know, I wouldn't necessarily roll that back out into the theaters and spend a ton of money on marketing a Rocketeer sequel. But if you put it on Disney Plus, I think even more people would watch it. You know, people are just going to be curious. What is The Rocketeer? Right now, the title is The Rocketeer Returns. That could change. It's a tentative title. But still, like, you know, if you saw that on Disney Plus, didn't know what it was, you at least check out the trailer. That's pretty much all that's known about the sequel right now. We don't know the time frame. The only other thing that's been kind of confirmed is they're going to introduce a new Rocketeer. So we're going to have a moment in the movie where somebody finds the gear, is my guess. I don't think it's going to be handed down. But having said that, there's a couple of things I hope for in this sequel. First and foremost, keep it in the past. When I think of the Rocketeer and that technology, right? Like it's very basic. It's a guy in a leather jacket and, you know, khakis essentially with a helmet and a jetpack. There's not massive, you know, technology improvements there. So if you took it into modern day, meh, you know, yeah, it's a guy that flies, but meh. And then you'd also get into the kind of gray world of, we're going to make the Rocketeer, but we're going to update him. And now he flies with lasers. And so it's just, no, because that's not the Rocketeer. That's some warped version of the Rocketeer. So my hope is that they keep it, you know, kind of set in the past, maybe not as far back. Like, it doesn't have to be like the 30s, 40s. But you could definitely put it into the 50s, like that type of thing. Keep it like Indiana Jones, right? Like a modern day Indiana Jones movie, I don't know would work. But they work really well because they're set in the past. And I kind of feel the same way about The Rocketeer. And, you know, just keep, I like the idea of keeping the action kind of grounded in reality as much as you can with a Rocketeer movie as well. That was a one takeaway from watching the first film, was that even though, yeah, you had a guy flying around with a jetpack, so that's not realistic, but it never went overboard. in the craziness of what they were doing with the jetpack and with the action sequences and stuff like that. And especially if it's a new Rocketeer, you almost have that learning curve again, right? So it's not like a guy that's been fighting crime for 20, 30 years. It's a new crime fighter. So there's going to be some learning to be done. So I think if they can keep the kind of the underlying feel grounded in reality, keep it set in the past, I think this definitely could be a really great leap for the Rocketeer. And Disney Plus, perfect, perfect home for a Rocketeer sequel. So really looking forward to that. Super, super excited. Switching over to Marvel, everything is dominated by Shang-Chi right now. The movie is out, getting amazing reviews. I have not had time to go see it, although I really, really want to. I did watch the tie-in that they have on Disney Plus. It's a little 14-minute thing where they do an interview with Trevor Slattery. Now, like, if you remember from Iron Man 3, when we were supposed to get the Mandarin as a villain, and Disney and Marvel royally fucked that up. Like, there's no excuse for Iron Man 3. There really isn't. Overall, the movie is Robert Downey Jr. hanging out with a kid, and every couple of minutes, maybe for a couple of minutes total in the movie, he's Iron Man. And then they're like, yeah, but we're giving you Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin. I remember those ads, and he's got the voice, you know, you'll never see me coming. It was great. Like, the marketing for Iron Man 3 leading up was great, and it was the worst bait and switch in movie history. Because then he's not the Mandarin, he's an actor, and blah, 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 blah. So they have this little kind of prologue to Shang-Chi on Disney Plus, where you are reintroduced to him. He's in jail and that type of thing. And it's attempting to erase that in a way. It's almost like Marvel going, listen, we know we upset you and really didn't do any justice to the Mandarin or the Ten Rings or any of that stuff. So here's our apology. It kind of works a little bit. A little bit. It's still a little, like, for what they're trying to do, it's about 15 minutes. What they're trying to do in that 15 minutes is pretty heavy, but it still comes across sometimes very jokey, which has always been my issue with Marvel movies. I'm not against jokes in superhero movies, but just sometimes they lean a little too heavy into the jokey. And even in that, you know, 15, 16 minute short film, yeah, leaned a little heavy into the jokey sometimes, and it probably could have been 10 minutes if they had cut a lot of that out. But it does at least attempt to erase what I would say so far has been the biggest blunder Marvel has made. So good on them for kind of, I guess, owning the mistake and acknowledging it. And now that they have this platform in Disney Plus, they could just roll it out there and say, oopsies. And now you can go see the movie kind of without any of that baggage hanging over it. The character's also been added as a skin in Fortnite. That was totally expected, which is great. They've also added Shang-Chi and Death Dealer as characters at Avengers Campus at Disneyland in California. They're moving very, very quickly. He's also been officially added to the Avengers in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, thanks to a TV spot that welcomes him into the Avengers, which I think should have been done in a movie, not in a TV ad. But still, lots going on with the character. As I said, reviews have been fantastic. And the movie is on pace to not only break the Labor Day box office record, but to pretty close to triple it, which is bonkers, especially since we're dealing with theaters closing and the Delta variant and all that kind of stuff out there. Basically, it's analyst figure, it's going to make $70.8 million over the first 3 days, and over the full holiday weekend, around $86 million. Now, if you're wondering where that kind of puts it, well, it's on par with F9's three-day opening earlier this summer, and the previous Labor Day opening record was actually set by Rob Zombie's Halloween in 2007 when it opened to $30.5 million. So if Shang-Chi takes in $86 million, yeah, damn near triples that, which is incredible, especially with everything else going around. So that's really good news for Marvel and the future of this character and the franchise going forward. One of the most, I would say, anticipated Disney Plus Marvel shows is Moon Knight. And I really hope they don't fuck this character up because he's so cool. But they got great casting. Obviously, Oscar Isaac will be Moon Knight. Ethan Hawke is the villain. Ethan Hawke was recently doing an interview and he almost let it slip who he was playing. But he backed up. He said he signed about 10,000 non-disclosure agreements, so he couldn't really get into it. But he did say it was kind of fun and freeing because it's a character that most people don't know. It's a very lesser known character in the world of Marvel. And that's allowed him to have some fun playing the role in a little bit more freedom. He also praised Oscar Isaac's portrayal as Moon Knight, said he's absolutely amazing in the show. So hopefully this show will do well, and hopefully they're true to Moon Knight. My only fear here is, as I said earlier, Marvel leans into the jokey a little bit. Moon Knight, serious character with some serious mental health issues that could be very powerful if addressed properly on the show, but if they kind of dismiss them, kind of like they did with Tony Stark's drinking problem, they hinted at it and then just ignored it, it could be a letdown if they don't delve into that side of the Moon Knight character. So hopefully they do. One last little bit of Marvel news. There's been back and forth reports on Venom, Let There Be Carnage, if it's going to be delayed or not. Still don't know if that's going to happen. We do know that, speaking of delayed movies, though, that Top Gun and Mission Impossible 7, they got delayed till next year. Don't know about Venom, Let There Be Carnage yet, but we do know what it will be rated, and I'm a tad disappointed. It's going to be a PG-13 film. It would have been nice if it was R-rated with Carnage. And I know you don't want to do R-rated stuff that's going to tie into Spider-Man eventually once Sony fully builds out their Spider-Verse, but still, Carnage character screams to be R-rated. Venom kind of screams to be R-rated, but you can get away with it a little bit when he's the good guy Venom, that it's not an R-rated film. But Carnage, not so much. So this tempers my expectation on just how much Carnage there will be in the film. I know there'll be a lot of the symbiote carnage, but how much carnage will he be causing and how much blood and death will he be causing is now in question with this rating coming in. Hopefully it'll still be good though. Woody Harrelson, I think, will crush it. Switching over to DC, they've made a few announcements over the last little bit. We're getting an animated film called Merry Little Batman, which is not a title you would expect. The show is going to focus on a six-year-old Damian Wayne at home by himself in Wayne Manor, obviously around Christmas time, and he has to become Little Batman to basically stop a bunch of Gotham City crooks and supervillains intent on destroying Christmas. So this could be okay. This could be fun. I have a feeling this is definitely going to be very, very kiddie. It's going to be part of Cartoon Network's Acme Night block of programming before debuting on HBO Max at a later date. We don't have a date for Merry Little Batman yet, but Acme Night is expected to kick off on September 19th on Cartoon Network. Something to look forward to for the kids, Christmas-related. Not kid-related, not Christmas-related, Doom Patrol Season 3 is right around the corner. They released the full trailer online. Looks really, really cool. Doom Patrol doesn't get, I don't think, the love that it deserves. Because as a show, it is emotional and well-written, well-acted. And I just don't hear enough people talking about Doom Patrol. And I don't know if that's, you know, because it's moved around a little bit, because it started off, I don't remember what channel it started off on, but it was on the DC app, and then it went to HBO Max. So I don't know if that's what's holding it back or what, but if you haven't checked out Doom Patrol, you're missing out. I mean, you really are. It's kooky, it's weird, but it's very heartfelt, very entertaining, and very well done. So really looking forward to season three of that. The Injustice animated movie, we now have a release date for that. That will be dropping October 19th. No word yet on an Injustice 3 video game, though, which is still a little disappointing. According to the director, Shazam! Fury of the Gods has wrapped filming, so they are done with that. Now it's just the editing. I'm sure there'll be some reshoots, but that's moving along nicely. So just a little bit of news on Shazam! Fury of the Gods there. We're going to get a new Batman trailer at DC Fandom. That has been confirmed. They came out, a lot of people online were going, hey, when are we going to get another look at this thing? You know, we had that trailer a year ago. When do we get a second trailer? And they have come out and said, yep, DC Fandom is the place that we're going to get our next look at Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson's The Batman. So we just have to wait till October 16th for that. Speaking of DC Fandom, there is a bunch of stuff that has been confirmed. I just want to hit a few. And when I say a few, it's quite a few. But there's a lot of video games that they're going to be talking about. Obviously, you know, the new Batman game coming, the new Suicide Squad game coming, those ones will be there. There's a lot of comic book related stories that will be have panels. A lot of the animated shows and current shows like The Flash and Teen Titans Go and all that kind of stuff, they're all going to have panels. But I wanted to touch on some of the newer stuff that has been confirmed for DC Fandom, because there will be some surprises, I would imagine. But we know we're going to get a panel on Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, so the sequel to Aquaman. Probably get to see some footage, I would think, because they've been shooting for a little while. But we'll definitely get a little bit more information on what will be involved with the sequel. As I mentioned, we're going to get to see the Batman trailer, the second one for that. It will have a panel. Spinning out of that is Batman Caped Crusader, an animated show heading to HBO Max. Matt Reeves, the director of The Batman, is also a producer on that one, as well as J.J. Abrams. So you got some big-time heavy hitters working on Batman Caped Crusader, and we're going to get a panel on that. DC League of Super Pets, an animated movie focusing on, you know, Crypto, the Superdog, and Ace the Bat Hound, and all that kind of, all of the kind of Justice League's pets, which was a big thing, especially like 50s, 60s. They all had to have a pet for some reason, which really, when you think about it, impractical. Because if you have a dog, like Superman, for example, the dogs are a lot of work, and they are going to get in the way. I don't care if it's a super dog or not. It's going to get in the way of you fighting crime. Like, if you're mid-fight with Brainiac, and you're like, oh, shit, I didn't take Crypto out, and it's been quite a few hours. Like, you can't just leave the fight and go home and take the dog out. Anyway, it was a big thing for a while. They're getting their own movie, which is pretty cool for, you know, kids and whatnot. I'm anxious to see some footage of that. The Flash movie, we are going to get to see that. Rumor has it we're going to see four, because they have been filming for a while now. And apparently, some people, like Michael Keaton, are done filming. And they're switching gears, and Ben Affleck's rolling in to start filming his Batman sequences. So hopefully we get to see some footage of The Flash. It'd be a great place to give us a first full-on reveal of Keaton in the Batsuit. That would be sweet. I'm just hoping in that situation. Peacemaker TV show, we're going to get to probably see a trailer for that. It comes out in January on HBO Max, so I'd be shocked if we didn't see a full-on trailer for the Peacemaker show. Shazam! Fury of the Gods, as I mentioned, it's wrapped, so it has a panel. I would expect at least footage, if not a full-on trailer there, because they could have been cutting a trailer while they were filming the film. And I think probably the biggest, maybe the most anticipated panel, maybe after The Flash, I think it's a toss-up, is Black Adam. And that is confirmed that Black Adam will have a panel there. Again, we'll probably see some footage. It'd be great to see character designs of Hawkman and Dr. Fate. And maybe, you know, we haven't even seen The Rock full-on in the Black Adam costume yet. So even something like that would be really cool to see. So those are just the movie and TV show panels that I kind of pulled out of the list. Like I said, there's a bunch more. It's going to be a loaded day. It's all a free stream, so if you want to check it out, you can. It doesn't cost anything. Of course, I'll be checking it out, and then I will do a DC Fandom wrap up like I did last year for DC Fandom. And the date of DC Fandom, October 16th. It starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time, which if my math is correct, I think that's 1 p.m. Eastern. So it's basically going to take up an entire day with all these panels. Like, there's no way they get through that day and that it's done in a couple hours. It's going to be a whole day of announcements. And I do think they have some things up their sleeve. You know, that's what you really want out of these panels is buzz. And out of these events, you want internet buzz and chatter. And yeah, they're definitely going to get some when they give us a trailer for Batman, and you know, maybe they drop a trailer for The Flash or Shazam or something. They'll get some chatter out of that. But if they come out and announce a brand new project that hasn't been announced yet, you know, whether it's like releasing the air cut of Suicide Squad or just flat out going, hey, there's a, you know, this guy movie coming. I mean, I could pick a thousand characters, but, you know, this is happening. Or they announced James Gunn's next DC project. Anything like that would make massive waves in kind of the community of fans. And I think those announcements are there to be had. And I don't think they've announced everything that they're going to talk about. So DC Fandom should be really, really good. At least I hope so. I'm crossing my fingers. And that will do it for this week's edition of the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. And of course, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your super pets, tell everybody you know, spread the word on the show. And until we chat again, have a good week.